Okay, I wanted to do a summary for children and IPV. A few things that I noted. Several things. So when you're working with a survivor and there are children involved, this is a little different from what we discussed in the discussion board, but I think this is an appropriate place to say it. But be really careful of your notes and what they say. Also advise your client to be mindful of who they share the fact that they are in counseling with, because if there's a custody battle and things like that, that perpetrator may very well, true to form, they've not received treatment, use their power and control by implying that the survivor is crazy, is unstable, is unable to care for the children. And so your notes need to reflect that. When I was a peer counselor before I was licensed and I was working at a women's or at a crisis center, we had minimal notes. Basically, it would say, peer counseling for 60 minutes to support client. That was it. And I was required to remember everything. And that kept my client safe. And there were many times that my notes were subpoenaed, and the attorney that subpoenaed them would be so angry because they said there was nothing there. And they accused me of having a shadow file, which, by the way, is not legal. And I didn't have one. I literally memorized everything about my clients. I really did. I just kept that in my memory and I protected them. So be mindful of that. If you choose to go on and do private practice, like right now, if I'm seeing someone who's a survivor, I tell them, I don't accept insurance or anything like that. So there's no way that they could ever find out that that person is in counseling with me unless that person told someone, and then they could subpoena my records. But I tell them to, be careful about who you share that with, because this is why. And so usually they don't share it. But I'm also very careful in my notes, what I write. Now, I will give a diagnosis if it's appropriate, but I won't say things like, I don't know, client was crying uncontrollably during session, something like that, that just could be misconstrued to show that person is unstable, something like that. So be very mindful of that. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is we, as social workers, really have to be careful that we don't add to the stigma that is attached to CPS. CPS is an agency that is there to protect our children, and their number one goal really is to keep families together. And the media just portrays them in such a negative light, and the media shows that CPS workers are all social workers, and our goal is to come in and swoop in and separate families and take kids away crying and screaming out of their parents' arms. And that is so not the case. And so more than likely our clients think this because of what they've seen on TV and in the media. And so it's very important that we don't feed into this and that we educate them. And so be careful of your language. Things like, I'm going to call CPS on you, or if I call CPS, their kid will be removed. In my experience, it is very rare that they're going to remove a kid, and when they do, it's pretty much warranted, except for in the cases of IPV. That's my opinion. It's pretty much warranted. And so there have been times where I wish they would have removed a child because I was so concerned for that child's safety, and they used other interventions first. So just be mindful of CPS and what they do, and be careful not to feed into an inaccurate portrayal. And when you are talking to your clients about CPS and you do need to make a report, it will be imperative that you educate them on the agency and what they do, and then involve that client in making the call as well. There have been so many times that I've engaged CPS in a case, and found out that they were able to get them to the top of a waiting list or get them services that they otherwise wouldn't qualify for. So they are there really to help that family stay together and be successful. And so it's very important that we need to, I'm sorry. So it's very important that we know that, and that our language reflects that CPS is not necessarily a negative thing. The next thing, I think I don't know why I wrote this. I don't think anyone said this in a discussion board, but it's important to know that when you're doing a protective order for a survivor, it's not understood that those children will be included. Last I checked the law, that child needed to also have been abused in order to be included in a protective order. So if you have mom and dad and mom is the abuser and children are living with dad and dad gets a protective order and mom has been abusive to dad physically but has never touched the children, children have never been in the way, they haven't been accidentally pushed like Mark Jr. was in our safety plan scenario, then you wouldn't be able to include the children. So just know that you have to have a reason to include the children. And that person is still the other parent of those children. And so just be mindful of that. And so in your safety planning, you want to work with your client about how to exchange the children and things like that. And I think I may have said this before, but in Texas, wherever the children are, whichever parent they're with, that's the parent that they're with. And unless there are custody arrangements ordered by the court, you can't, the children don't have to see the other parent. One thing that's very common among batterers, as we know, they use that power and control. And so once their survivor is physically gone and has left them, if that happens, and they no longer can do the things they were doing and they can't physically harm them, they will say things like, well, you know, this is child kidnapping. If you won't let me see my kids, you need to let me see my kids or I'm going to call the police. And of course that survivor is intimidated and scared because, you know, this is a dynamic of their relationship, but know that that survivor does not have to let their spouse see the children. I've seen many cases in which the survivor has been manipulated to give the kids to the other person, to the other parent, and the other parent just maliciously keeps them just so the survivor won't have them. And I've even seen people go as far as to take them, the abuser or the batterer, to take them to a relative's house in another state just so the survivor won't have access to them. And of course that really is very difficult for most survivors to not have their kids, and it's a great way for the perpetrator to get them to come back home, you know. So just be mindful of that, and that's information that the client needs to know as well. Oh, the little eyes, little ears. I think I just wanted to acknowledge that there was a lot of sexist language there. I wish there was something I could do to not make everything she, victim, victim, victim. But, you know, there's just not. I can only address it in the classroom. And then the final thing is when it comes to children, sometimes there's a lot of blaming that goes on in this discussion board simply because of the issue. Many of you are survivors of, I mean, many of you witnessed IPV, many of you are survivors of IPV, and many of you just have really personal experiences with it. And then, you know, who doesn't want to protect an innocent child who has no control over their situation? But be mindful that we can't regress back to everything that we were doing before we were more knowledgeable about the dynamics of IPV. So be careful of just that overt and covert blaming that you might do just because there's a child involved. The same principles apply, that survivor is still the expert in their life. We still respect their right to self-determination. Leaving is not the goal. Safety is. All of those things still apply. So just be mindful. Children just really tug at your heartstrings, and sometimes it takes things out of perspective. And that's honestly the main reason I don't work with children. I work with adolescents and adults, and I just know with children I would have really poor boundaries just because I'd want to protect them. And if I felt like the people that were supposed to protect them weren't protecting them, I'd probably take them home and get arrested because there'd be an Amber Alert or something. So anyway, hopefully this was helpful, and I will see you guys online. Take care.